your name be glorified, Lord, in and through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 It's been a crazy few weeks when one looks at the news and what's happening in the world. Wow, there's a lot of things. It's not only the last few weeks, but it's kind of almost escalated over the last few weeks. But over the last years, there's been such an increase in natural disasters, and one cannot help, and wars and conflicts. One can't help but read Matthew 24 and what Christ talks about there in terms of wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, all earthquakes and things happening, and kind of have a bit of a wake up, a bit of a check in terms of, wow, this looks very, very familiar in terms of what we see happening all over the world. And actually, Pastor Fred ministered a word in last Sunday morning in Stellenbosch, which is on shofaronline.tv. If you want to go, and it's not for the faint-hearted. It's a bit of a wake-up call regarding these things. But if you fancy a wake-up call, go and have a look, have a listen. but it's amazing that even while we are in tumult, this times of tumult and chaos, it seems, to stand still and have comfort and in the knowledge that He is God, is Lord over all, and that He is King over all kings, and He is still the sovereign Lord of the universe. And also that although sometimes it may not feel like it, that we do serve a God of order. And I want to look at Philippians 2. Start off with from verse 9. Therefore God has also highly exalted Him, Jesus, and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and on those on earth, of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And now this is just a snapshot of the order that God has put in place. And let's quickly go to the next one, also in 1 Corinthians 14. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. He's a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. And even in the chaos that we find ourselves in, even in what it seems to be a lot of things going on, it's so important to stand still and regard the fact that Christ is the name above every name. He is the Lord of everything. He is the and at one stage or another, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Now, when one looks at the natural order that God has put in place, it's amazing to see how beautifully it's been designed to stay in place like it is. And we live on a beautiful planet. We spin, our planet spins at a specific rate, and we orbit the sun at a specific rate, and all of that puts in place very specific things that we take as granted, take for granted every day. So the seasons, as we are experiencing winter coming on now, and so much more. But if you consider for a moment, if we were to be just a couple of meters or just a little bit closer to the sun, life will not become impossible on earth. And even if we were to move a little bit further from the sun, it would also be become impossible because of the cold. And if one looks at so many things that in the natural order around us, it shows and it speaks of that amazing order that God has put in place. Gravity. If the gravity was the forces between us and the sun, as I said, were a little bit different, things would go completely haywire. But God has put them in place, and He holds them in place, and therefore we can wake up in the morning, and we don't have to worry about things like that. Hallelujah. But he is a God of order, and he's put these things in place. And just in the same way as those things in the natural order are in place, there's also a spiritual order that God has put in place. And I find, especially in times like this, and interestingly, over the last while, wrestling through some of things, finding that if we, now this is where the challenge comes in, God, the order that God has put in place is there, right? So in the natural order, if I ignore that, if I ignore stuff like gravity, if I ignore things like those things that are the natural laws that are in place, then I'm going to feel the effects. So for instance, if I say, no, gravity will have no effect on me, I can step off a building, or I can do what I want, or I can try to do the flying thing as many boys do when they're young, you know, especially off the roof of their house, that kind of thing. But the reality is that whether we agree with them or not, or whether we're aware of them or not, they still will have a serious impact on us. In the same way, the spiritual order and the spiritual order that God has put in place, whether we're aware of it or not, affects us. And I find myself looking at back over our life and thinking of situations where things were really challenging or really going rough, and then realizing often, even though we experience the blessing of the Lord as His children, if we remove ourselves or if we step out of the order that God has called us to walk in, and then we find ourselves in a place where we could experience challenges more than what God necessarily wants us to experience. I'll hopefully make a bit more sense a bit later. I can't actually go into too much in terms of all the different, in terms of order and authority. God has called us to submit to authority that is in government over us, and to the order that is put there by the governing authorities. He requires of us to obey the law of the nation, of the land. But also He has put in place not only order like that, but He's also put in place order in the family, order in the home, order in communities. A good example for order in the family, and I'm not going to talk about that too much this morning, but order in the family is important. And you know, it's important that the husband as steps into order, the wife steps into order, and even the children step into order. And how often do we find these days that the parents actually make a mistake of putting the children in the wrong place in the order? So the children become, the blessing becomes the most important thing instead of the person that we have received the blessing from. A good example that I've found in terms of order in the family was, it's not like the husband is more important or the wife is more significant than the other one, but the order is important because there's different roles that have to happen in the family. Okay, so one of the ways I feel it happens is, for instance, if you look at the difference between cooking and baking. Okay, now you might think, I don't know much about that. You're right. But I'm very blessed with a wife that does. So I've learned a lot, guys, I must say. Almost 9 years now. Wow. I've really enriched, my life has been enriched, okay, by learning a lot in terms of cooking and baking. Now, the cool thing about cooking, and I've learned that actually from my dad as well, is that you can go wild to a certain extent, and you can just kind of be kind of, it's not such a very fine science as baking is. You can, you know, add a bit of extra of this or that to your taste, and it's going to make a great difference. And some might like it, but maybe you like it that way. My dad has a way of just trying new things, and he'll make an amazing dish, and we'll say, "Wow, Dad, that's amazing! How did you do it? What's in there?" And I say, I'm not so sure. You know, we'll try and make it again, and inevitably won't be the same, but it will be amazing, nevertheless. But so with cooking, you can, you know, if you feel, wow, it needs a bit of this or it needs a bit of that, you add a bit, and you add some ingredients, and you feel, wow, maybe I should add some more of that. You can add some more later, and it's still fine, right, mostly. But when you get to baking, the problem there is there's a chemical reaction that happens in the relation to all the ingredients to one another. And I've found now, this is once or twice when Anna has not been able to bake, and she, for instance, the one time she was having to bake, I can't remember what it was for, but she was very ill. Actually, no, she had morning sickness. I remember that. And she was like huddled up in the corner of the kitchen and struggling with this morning sickness, and she gave me instructions. I was doing the thing, but she was obviously telling me what to do. So I baked a carrot cake. I know it sounds, but it actually came out amazing. It was really good. Obviously, the instructions were good. But so what I learned is that although you can have all the right ingredients together, you can have them all lined up and all ready, it's not, the order is actually very important. And it's not like the one ingredient is more important or more significant, but if you don't put them in the right order, it will not have the same outcome. And I've also experienced that, something has go terribly wrong. And also the measure obviously is important. So it is the family, the order in the family doesn't mean the one part of the family or the children or the parents or the husband or the wife is necessarily much more significant or much more important than the other, but there is still a place for a godly authority and a godly order so that the result can be pleasing and can be godly. Okay, are you with me? And similarly in society, there's order that God puts in place. Now, with this background, I want to quickly look at the account of Daniel's three friends in Daniel chapter, what was it? Oops. Daniel chapter 3. Okay, I don't think it'll be visible there, but if we go on to Daniel chapter 3, the next one there, it's Daniel chapter 3 from 13. All right. Might be go left. Okay, don't worry. Well, if you can read with me, this might be a bit small. Okay. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury. Okay, let's just get the context quickly. So, Nebuchadnezzar put down or made this new law that everybody, when they had this music playing, that everybody had to bow to these kind of idols that he built, and he made this a decree, and everybody that wouldn't bow would be put to death. Right, so this is the context there. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow. They're actually quite men of stature. They're counted as wise men. They've the favor of God upon their lives. They're not unknown to the king. They've been doing really well. They've been put in positions of authority. The Lord is blessing them. Partly for that reason, people were plotting against them. But now this is what happens when they don't bow. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up?" And if we jump a bit forward, verse 15, "If you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Now, I want to look at this at a little bit of a different angle here. Now, the thing is, these guys were taken captive from their nation. They're in captivity in another nation, but they're doing really well. They've been put in places and in positions of authority. God has blessed them with favor, etc., as we said. And they have been obeying the law of the land, right? They've been living in godly order. They've been obeying. But now there's a point where the law of the land or the law of the king is opposing the law of God, clearly opposing the word of God. And this is where up to now they've been actually been have good relationship with the king. They've served him well, and but this is it seems where there's a line that they cannot cross, and this becomes very evident. And they don't seem very upset or very exercised about it, but they're very matter of fact. You know, this is just one. We can't do this one. We can't do this, and this is why. And obviously for the king, this doesn't make any sense. And we know the rest of the story. So they immediately bound and they cast into the furnace. But look, and then the Lord delivers them. But look, let's look at how this plays out for a moment. But firstly, they have been in order, but now there's a request for them to go against the command of God. And this is often where the crunch happens. The thing is, it doesn't often happen as overtly as this. This is like up in the public square. This is like nobody can deny. This is what's happening. They've been dragged in front of the king. It's not something happening in the back group somewhere, in the back room, or somewhere where nobody else sees. All right? This is very public. But they come to a point where they have to decide who or what is of most importance in our lives. Who's actually in charge? Is it the king, Nebuchadnezzar, or is it the Lord God Almighty? Is he the one that we fear the most? Is he the one that we will bow down to first? Is he the one whose law is more important? Is he the one that we ultimately serve? And they do, this is very challenging in many ways, because I don't think we realize it, but how often do we find ourselves in the same situation? Maybe, again, not as bluntly as this or as overtly, because often the enemy puts us in situations where this very principle in our lives is challenged, but not in such a blatant way. So when you have to make a decision about where to live, or where to work, you know, we had a while ago to pray around which school should Abby be in, and or what job are you going to take? You've got a few offers, or you're applying for work, or you're doing, you know, wrestling through some decisions. What is the underlying principle that you base your decisions on? And I remember wrestling just through something. It seems very simple now, but it's not so simple. Which school, you know, should be one number one choice on the list that you submit? And I remember walking near Burr Hill School, which is the closest school to us. It's one of the closest schools. It's one that's a little bit closer. But and walking there and praying and saying, Lord, you know, how do we make this decision? This is, you know, when it comes in, you can weigh up pros and cons and Ofsted reports and all these things. But you go crazy if you just do that all day. So I said, God, whatever happens, we want your will to be done. We want to send Abby, and we ultimately want to live where we can do your will the best, and we can be in the center of your will, and we can see your kingdom coming. Whether that means we have to move house as well, that's 100% fine. We have to move closer to Cobham, where the school is. That stage, you know, we were thinking, wondering about that. But we didn't know, obviously, where she would end up then. But I remember having that shift and realizing, you know what, weighing up pros and cons is great, but ultimately, this decision, like any other decision, has to be subject to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. And what a blessing. And I remember just being able to cast off that bit of confusion, or, you know, a bit of wrestling, and say, God, hallelujah, I commit this to you. I thank you that we can put down options and we can trust you to direct our steps, and we can trust you that the outcome will be your will, and that you direct us in the way that we should go. And I want to challenge us with this morning. If when it comes to the crunch, and I've used a relatively simple example, but when it comes to the big decisions about relationships or getting married, I remember the same, and I was wrestling through whether Anna is the one, you know, the stuff like that. But ultimately, you know, where we're going to live, where we're going to move to, which job are we going to take? Those have a massive impact on our lives. A massive impact on where we end up and who we interact with and which community we end up in. And I want to ask, what is the when it comes to the crunch, what is the order like in your life and in my life? What is the What is of most importance? Now, it's easy these days. Now, unfortunately, I think it happens a lot. And you hear about, let's take the school example again while we're on it. You hear about families, the child is barely born, you know, and then it's, they, you know, looking around for schools, and then it's like waiting lists, and then planning ahead to move into a certain community because that's where we need to be in the catchment, and then this. And I spoke to a dad at Abbey School the other day at a birthday party, and he was saying, "Yo, there's children. His boys are now three. No, they're four twins. And a year and a half ago, when they were about 2.5, he already phoned the rugby club because he wanted them to be a part of the toddler rugby thing, you know. And they have a long waiting list, so you have to plan ahead." I said, "Wow, that's commitment, you know. I'm a rugby fan, but I haven't thought that far ahead. I'm behind now, you know." But it's amazing how the blessing from God, which are our children, it's so sometimes so easy to become the center of our lives. And look, guys, I'm in the middle of the season, so I'm not like I don't understand, but in the way we make our decisions, what when it comes to the crunch, what is the most important thing? What is the thing that drives our decision making and what we put out our faith for? And we can pull that through to any phase of life, whether you've had your children or whether you're going to have them. The other things, the blessings that we receive from God, that job that you were waiting for, that opportunity that you were hoping for, now it's here. But don't make that thing the center. Don't make that blessing the thing that drives your decision making. Make sure that you, as these guys do, when it comes to the crunch, say, "Listen, this is the line we won't cross. We worship Him first, and we only worship God." And I love this part in the bottom, near the end. It says, "If this is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O King. But if not, even if He doesn't," now, in other words, this is powerful because they recognize that because God is sovereign, God may choose not to deliver them. God may choose not to do a miracle. God may choose that is the moment that they will die. And I love the fact that they are so at peace with the sovereignty of God and their lives in His hand that they say, "You know, God is able to do this, but if we would, for some reason, choose not to, that's also fine. It doesn't change a thing. Nothing changes. It doesn't change the way we feel about Him. It doesn't change why we submit to God. We serve Him. We do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image, even if God does not deliver us." Do you see this? Very powerful. Let's go on. Before we go to the next scripture. So I wanna throw this out there. If you want the blessing of God and the order of God in a specific area of your life, then I wanna throw a challenge out to everyone, to myself this morning. Do you have to reevaluate the order of the situation? Do you have to, if there's something in your family life, like we said, now, do we have to do a reshuffle about what is most important in our family, in terms of how we spend our time, and can be many things. And I want to say to you, if you desire the order of God in your workplace, then think about how you relate to your work and how the will of God happens in your workplace and how your heart is positioned in terms of what is God's will and what is my ambition or what is God's will and for me to serve my colleagues and my workplace and whatever, and as opposed to what is the best way I can get to the top. You know, there's a lot of things to talk about, but in a similar way, if we want the order and the blessing of God in our finances, it's a similar thing. When it comes to the crunch, when it comes to the bigger decisions about finance and about priorities, what is at the core of what our decision making, and what is of most importance. Now, with the finance one, it's an interesting one. I actually don't talk about finances. I don't talk a lot about finances in church. I should do more often, because I really believe that's one area where it's a great place to really get our hearts in order. Funny thing, it's money and finance play such a big role in society that often we get things muddled up around that, right? I'm including myself in this. So money is a great servant, a great tool, but money is not a good master, all right? So if we get the order mixed up there, things just go pear-shaped. And again, maybe early in the new year or somewhere we can spend a bit more time specifically on this, but I want to say to you, if you desire the blessing of God and the order of God in that area, in the finance, in your work, then trust God to align yourself with the order that God has put in place. And as we see this demonstrated here, even in the face of great challenge, even in the face of, well, you know what, this is for me to preserve my life now, I'm going to have to play along with whatever this guy is saying, as these guys are facing. How many times do we make similar decisions thinking, you know what, I don't have a choice now, this is life or death. I can't tithe this month, or I can't worship God like this, or I can't stand up for what I believe now. This is going to be suicide in the workplace. It's going to be career, you know, it's going to be suicide for my career, if you want to call it that. But then, it's similar to what these guys faced, and we have to decide, listen, am I going to bow before what my circumstances tell me, or what the society around me requires of me? Or am I going to draw the line and say, you know what, even in my finance, even in my work, I don't care how much this will cost me, but I worship God first. And He alone do I worship. Often when I have an opportunity to bless somebody with finance or sow financially, I think of it as an act of warfare. I recognize so many things in our lives contend for that place in our hearts, that place that is only reserved for God, that place of number one, in charge, worship King of, you know, Him alone, and He over everything else. So much contends for that spot in our hearts, amen? And often when I there's a situation where I can give and I know, listen, this is going to cost us. We can't afford. This is not in the budget. And I think, you know what? Let's do it. Let's just make sure the devil knows where we're at on this thing. We do it as an act of warfare, not only to make a declaration in the spirit, but also for my own sake, that my flesh and my heart, my soul know this is where what is most important. And the same for our family. I want my children to know when it comes to the crunch, I want them to have no confusion about who do we worship first, whether it be in our decision making, whether it be in our finance. So I see it not only as an act of worship, as these guys would decide, we only worship God, but as an act of warfare. We worship Him, we lift Him up in our finance, in the way we manage our finance, in the way we make our decisions. And He's glorified. Amen. Okay, now, I want to rush to the end a bit. Okay. Let's look at John chapter 3. From verse 13. No one has ascended to heaven but He who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Excuse me, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, I want to quickly refer to what happened with Moses. You can go and read it. I had the reference here. What basically happened, there was a bit of a revolt and a bit of guys disrupting the order that God has put in place. It happened a lot there while they were going through the wilderness. There's a lot of powerful lessons to be learned there. And And there were these serpents that came in among the people and started, and people started dying, being bitten by the serpents. And God, and Moses was interceding on behalf of the people, and then God said to him, "Listen, make a serpent, make a golden serpent, or and put it up put it high up, lift it up, so, and then whoever will look to it has been bitten and will look to it will be healed, will live." And he refers back to that, and the powerful thing here again is that Christ said, "Let's look. I'll just quickly look at the next one." And that when Christ refers to that, he says that as he is lifted up, he draws men unto himself. And even so, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, Christ had to be lifted up on the cross, and that he would be that saving grace for all who had fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, all of us. But the powerful thing is, again, the order, okay? If Christ is the one that's being lifted up, if he is the one that is being exalted, in this case, obviously referring also to the cross, but even beyond that, if he is the one that's being lifted up in our praise, if he is the one that's being glorified, if he is the taking the top spot, if he is the one that is that has the position of Lord over all in our lives, then that's when life happens. That's when fullness of life manifests. That's when healing manifests. That's when salvation happens, is when Christ is lifted up. Amen? And when he has the place of most importance. And I quickly read Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17. Be a bit small there. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the wisdom, you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of the mighty power of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. When Christ takes this position of glory in our lives, that's when order can happen. That's when blessing can flow. When we lift Christ up in our communities and we exalt Him as what He's declared to be here over everything else, when that is reality in the way we live, when that becomes the reality in our community, when that happens in the way we worship Him on a Sunday, the way we worship Him when we walk the streets, the way we lift Him up in our workplace, whether that means going in early and worshiping God there, or in your prayer there, that is when Christ, when He's lifted up, He draws men unto Himself. And that's when order, the godly order can reign. And that's when the blessing of God can flow. And that's when the favor of God can flow as it should. And I want to encourage us this morning that if there's a lot of stuff happening in our nation, there's a lot of stuff happening in our lives, a lot of decisions we need to make, but ultimately, when the Son of Man is lifted up and He takes the place of glory, when He takes the place of over everything else in our lives, that is when blessing can flow. That is when abundance of life can happen. There's a old saying that He's either Lord over all or not at all. And I believe that it's a good one. Let's stand this morning. We're going to pray. I'm going to have to be off to London. You're going to pray for my voice to make it for the second round. in terms of, we've covered a few points here this morning, but if in terms of salvation, for those we are praying for, our community that we are trusting to be transformed, When the Son of Man is lifted up, he draws all men unto himself. When Christ is exalted, when he is exalted and he's in the place that he should be in our community, then this community will be different. Amen. The other night, when we had a worship night here, hopefully we'll have lots more of them. It was the night before Halloween, and we had a group, not a too small, we had a couple of musicians, we had a couple of people come to worship, but there was such a beautiful presence of God in this place, and there was just such an amazing power in the worship, and I felt it was so significant that it was just leading up to Halloween, which is obviously known as massive occultic, a massive date for the occult in the country, and terrible things happening all over the kingdom of darkness trying to establish itself in so many ways. But it was so significant for me that the Lord had us do that, and it was such a presence and such a power in that worship. And I believe it's just an affirmation, guys, of the fact that in the way we worship Him and the way we exalt Him, and that's not only when we come together to sing and worship Him like that, and the way we worship Him in our workplace, and the way we worship Him as families and as a body, and the way we lift Him up is going to be so crucial for the way we take the ground that God has prepared for His body in this nation, and the way we establish His kingdom in this community and in our nation. I want to encourage us, lift up His name. Lift up Christ in your finances, in your family, in your decision making. Put Him up. Lift Him up as King of Kings and Lord of all. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we stand in awe, Lord, of Your greatness, Lord. We stand in awe, Lord, of Your lordship, Father. Lord, we stand in awe of Your, how wonderful You are, God. Lord, and we celebrate the fact, Lord, that even amongst the chaos we see around us and amongst so much happening, Lord, that we can declare You are King and You are Lord and You reign over everything. We declare, Lord, over what's happening in Paris and Europe and on our nation politically, and in so many ways, we declare now over this nation, over Europe, we declare Jesus Christ is King and Lord over all. We will bow before Him only. We will worship Him alone. We will not fall down before in fear in front of anything else. God, and I thank You for a boldness in our hearts this morning, Lord. Even as we saw in the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that faced with the threat of death and the very reality of death, Lord, that they did not back down, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, even when we feel like there's no other choice, Lord, and we have to go in a certain direction, the society requires it of us, or our career requires it of our children or whatever else. There's so much, there's pressure on us, and we feel there's no choice but to compromise. There's no choice but to do something else. God, I thank You for a boldness in our hearts, Lord, to worship only You, Father, in our decision making, in the way we lead our families, Lord, in the way we handle our finances, God, in so many other ways. Lord, we thank You for order in our lives, God, that will lift up Your name, God. In Jesus' name. As we just have our eyes closed this morning, if there's something in your life that you know you're trusting God for breakthrough, or Holy Spirit has convicted you of something where you know you need order, whether it be in your relationship to your family or even your relationship to the body of Christ, I haven't even started with that, but there's such a blessing when we find ourselves in order in the body of Christ. And if the Holy Spirit has pointed something out, just while every eye is closed, just bring that thing before God now. Just bring that area before Him. Say, God, I acknowledge, Lord, that this has been way out of line. And I trust this morning that You restore order in my finances, or in this relationship, or in my relationship to the body, in the way I serve the body of Christ, in the way I serve You by serving the body. God, I thank you, Lord, just for order to return so that your name be glorified, Lord. Just take a moment and just commit that to him. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and we thank you for fruit of your word in our lives. I thank you that as we go from here, Lord, that we ask, Lord, for order in our communities, Lord. We ask for order in our government, Lord. We pray for our leaders. We pray for those in government, and we thank you for a blessing on them, Lord. We thank you for your wisdom, but we also pray for order in decision-making. We pray for godly order, Lord, in our finance, Lord, in everything we do, Lord. Let your name be glorified. Be lifted high, Lord. Lord Jesus, as we lift up your name, that you would draw all men unto yourself. As you are lifted up into the place of authority, draw all men unto himself, Lord, unto yourself, Lord. Let salvation spring up, Lord. Let salvation come over into this community, in this nation, into our cities, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask if you have any prayer needs, whether it is healing, God still heals, amen. Whatever the need is, we'd love to pray with you. I'm going to be heading off to the London service, but I want to ask you to be bold and turn to somebody next to you, or to ask somebody to pray with you at the, now. But the thing is, God has made provision for whatever the need is. He's already made provision. Amen. Amen. But thanks very much for being here this morning. We praise God for his faithfulness, and I pray the blessing over us as we go from here. And please join us for some refreshments at the back. Amen. God bless.